My main text this morning is Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. So if you have your Bibles, I was thinking about this week and I thought, well, we carried our Bibles to church for years and years and years and years. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. See, I want to point this out to you. Seven times the word serve was in those two, verse 14 and 15. Seven times the word serve was mentioned in 14 and 15. See, Joshua provides for us a perfect example of faithfulness. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, 30 years in Canaan land. He proved himself to be a trustworthy leader that God brought from the back to the forefront to lead his people into the promised land. In Numbers chapter 27, if you have your Bible, let's look at that. Numbers 27. I'm going to begin reading at verse 15, 15 through 23. I'm just setting up this message today. Numbers 27. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, and he and all the children of Israel with him, and all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. See, Joshua was a perfect example to us. His name is pronounced Yeshua, meaning Lord of Salvation, or the Lord of Salvation. Joshua led the people into Canaan. But God was the ultimate conqueror that enabled them. Joshua was the leader. But let's not ever forget who the real conqueror is. In our lives, in the story, the real conqueror was God himself. And I declare boldness over all of you today. Over all this congregation today, I declare boldness that despite what you may be facing and going through, despite all you see in the nation today, I want to remind you that God is still the conqueror.
Yes.
God is still in control. God is still on the throne.
Amen.
When you watch all that other stuff that's out there and you think, oh my gosh, and fear begins to come on you, just remember that God is still in control and he is still on the control. He is still ruling and reigning with majesty, power, and glory.
That's right. Amen.
God is still in control regardless of what we hear, what we see, or what we feel.
That's right.
God is still on the throne and he reigns. And I know things might look crazy. They might, but isn't it wonderful? We got a glimpse of God moving a couple days ago.
Yes.
We got a glimpse.
Yes.
So we know and we can be encouraged that God is still on the throne, like I said, and he is moving with all power and authority. Just think of it, 49 years, 63 million babies killed. And God said, that's enough. I had enough. Our God has not abandoned his throne. And our God knows exactly what he's doing. In some way, somehow, I believe Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, amen, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Really? Do you believe that? All things, not something. So when you see some of these things going on, and I'm sure there's going to be a very hot summer, because there's going to be a lot of stuff going on this summer, are you still going to say, I believe that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose? And we're all called according to God's purpose. Amen?
Yes.
God is on the move. He's sending us signs and signals. But we have to believe and we have to follow him. And I believe that was just a signal on Friday that could really send us into seventh heaven.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, where is our joy? I mean, do all of us really understand what happened? I mean, this was totally, I can't even. We have to be tuned into the Holy Spirit to hear his voice. There's a whole lot of noise out there. Oh, and right now there's a whole lot of noise. Can you imagine people protesting because they want babies killed? Oh my goodness. Many are listening to the noise. Maybe some in here are listening to some of that fake noise out there. Some of that noise. I hope you're not. Because you have to pull yourself away from the noise to hear from the Holy Spirit. He's your truth. Many of us know that, but we still listen to the noises coming from all the untruths and the fakeness. And then the enemy whispers in our ear and puts us off on a tangent. I just had a message last night from my friend. She broke her foot. And all of a sudden, the devil started reminding her of when she had COVID and when she lost her job, when she had to stay home from work, and all the bills that they're acquiring now. And she went into depression. And I looked at it and I thought, Christian, spirit-filled, stop listening to the noises, I said.
Yes.
The devil is just attacking you. See, in Joshua chapter 24, the main text that I read in the beginning, we find that it's Joshua's speech to Israel. And he's reminding them to stay passionately committed to God. He said, I don't want you to forget God's faithfulness, but I also want to warn you about disobedience. Because if you don't stay faithful to God and you don't remain true to God, there will be consequences to those choices. You see, every choice we make results in consequences,
yes,
good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
I made some choices that came up with some bad consequences. I'm sure all of you did. You're human. If you're human, you have made a choice in your life that came up as something bad. But if you're truthful, you can say that you believe that God turned it around even before you were saved. Because he knew your heart.
Yes.
In Joshua 15, he makes this claim. But he looked at the people and said, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here is what I want you to get this morning. And you will hear this over and over this morning. Because as I was studying this, I was thinking, well, oh, I don't know. And at the breakfast table, I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know, Roger, I don't know. I don't know. You know me, I'm honest. And here's what I want you to get this morning. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There was a me before there was a my. There was a me before there was a my. Joshua understood that it starts with me. It has to be a me before it's a my. Before it's in my house, it has to be in me. Before it exists out there, I have to have it exist in me.
Yes, praise God.
It begins with me. The changes I want to see is the change that I must be.
Yes.
Before it's in my home, it starts with me. Before it's in my neighborhood, it starts with me. In my workplace, it starts with me. Before my community, it starts with me. My city, my nation, my world, it starts with me. The change starts with me. If I want to be better physically, yeah, you guessed it, it starts with me. How about financially? It starts with me. Better relationships, where does it start? It starts with me. If I want to be better spiritually and everything that God is calling me, I can't wait on anybody else. It starts with me. You get this?
Yes. Amen.
It starts with me. Say that. It starts with me.
It starts with me.
And why don't you just take this finger and point to your chest and say, it starts with me.
It starts with me.
The change I want to see in my life or my family, it starts with me.
Yes.
It starts with you, Mom. It starts with you, Dad. It starts with you, Grandma. It starts with you, Grandpa.
Yes.
It starts with you, brother. It starts with you, sister. It starts with you, young person. It starts with you, person of influence. So this morning, I decided.
Yay.
I'm asking her to change her ways. No message can be clearer, Nancy. If you want to make the world a better place, then look at yourself in the mirror.
Yes, praise
God. And make the change. I'm starting with me. What I want to see, I have to be. Thoughts start with me. Joy starts with me. Hope starts with me. I can't look to others, to the left or to the right. Nancy, look into the mirror of God's Word. I have to be willing to look into the mirror of God's Word. I have to be willing to let Him change me. Woman of God, be a vessel of change, but know that it starts with me. It's got to be a me before a my. The world will be a better place, but it has to start with me. I have to be willing to look into the Word of God because that's where change begins. It begins with me. It begins with you. It begins with I. There has to be a me in the nation before there's a my nation, and it has to start in me. What we need right now in our homes, in our nation, is not a chain reaction. We need a change reaction.
That's right.
And we have to take responsibility. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Turn in your Bibles there if you have it. If not, I'm going to read it to you. You heard this story over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Mark chapter 5. Beginning at 25. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had. It was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. For 12 long years, she battled the issue. And I like the way the Bible laid out the time she suffered with this issue, because it helps us to know this. It doesn't matter how long issues have lasted. We serve a God that is able to change the unchangeable.
That's right, amen.
Can you imagine for a moment, from doctor to doctor, appointment to appointment, medication to medication? Isn't that what people are doing today? I personally know people who are going from doctor to doctor, medication to medication. Nothing worked for this woman. But one day, she heard about Jesus. And something happened, and she said, but I can only touch the hem of his garment. I know what that's like. I asked the Lord over and over to touch the hem of his garment when they gave me 6 months to live. I said those exact words. I used to stand in my bedroom and look in the mirror and say, Jesus, if I can only touch the hem of your garment. I was desperate. This woman was desperate. Something grabbed a hold of her and said, if the change I want to see, it starts with me. If I can touch him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm not going to wait for him to come to me. But I'm going to go into him, and I'm going to touch him. I'm going to say this again. If the change I want to see, it starts with me. This time, she suffered with this issue. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long issues have lasted. But we have to know that God is always in control. This lets us know that when things look incurable, unchangeable, we serve a God that's able to change the unchangeable, cure the incurable. This is a woman that said, the healing I want to see, it starts with me. She was willing to press through the crowd. When she pressed through the crowd, she touched the hem of his garment. She received the change. I'm sure that it wasn't an easy task to press through that crowd. Roger and I used to do kind of a little play when, if we talked about the women and the issue of blood, and he would be preaching, and I would crawl up the aisle. And he had and I would touch him. And it was powerful. It was powerful. No one had done that up to that point, you see. She was the first to do that and be made whole. But then the scripture tells us in Mark 6:56 that whenever he entered into villages, Mark 6:56. Whenever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. The touch of Jesus' garment by the woman with the hemorrhage was public, which may account for a similar action by the masses. There were many who began to follow Jesus. And where did they hear and see that? It was from a woman that said, it starts with me. Amen? Amen? She created a change in her society because she was willing to take responsibility and go beyond the limit and press through the crowd of resisting voices. You couldn't probably, maybe you can imagine how she crawled or pressed or, but it said it pressed. Think about pressing. She pressed in there through those resisting voices. There's a lot of resisting voices out there right now. Are we going to press in?
Yes.
Are we going to press in? Are we going to open our mouth and tell the truth? I believe we do tell the truth in here. A change that would spread throughout the region. That was the change that happened because of this woman's wanting to go and touch the hem of his garment. The power and difference that one person can make in obedience or disobedience. Or disobedience. In Romans 5:19, let's read that. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. So you see, by one person's disobedience, many were made sinners, and by one person's obedience, many can be made right. Our choices matter. Disobedience or obedience, you matter. What you do matters. Your decisions and your choices are not just about you. It is always connected to other things around you. And the Bible is filled with men and women who dare to obey in the midst of adversity, who dare to obey when everything around them pushed against them. When I look at Paul, think about Paul. He was told to get up and go into the city to the street called Straight. In Exodus 4:10, Abram was told to give up his son. And Moses was told to speak up. And Daniel was told to stand up in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. When Paul was told to get up from the ground, he became the apostle that would take the gospel to the Gentiles. When Abram was told to give up his son for a sacrifice, the Bible said he became the father of faith. When we talk about Moses, when he decided to speak up, to use his voice to go before Pharaoh and declare to him, "Let my people go." It was him speaking up that led a whole entire nation out of Egyptian bondage. How powerful, how powerful. And Daniel, a man who stood up and said, "I will not partake of the king's meat." He determined he would not compromise and give in to the culture. You know, that's a really good statement.
Yes.
We're not going to compromise. We're not going to give in to the culture. And the Bible said he chose to have a different diet. He would not consume what the culture was consuming, what the world was consuming. We cannot consume what the world out there is consuming right now. It's going to kill us. We're going to die.
Amen.
If we consume what the world is consuming right now, we're gone. This is what we have to consume.
Yes.
Right here.
That's right. Amen.
Right here. We consume the word. We believe the word. We act on the word. We're obedient to the word. We move. How we move, every move we make. That's a song, I think. Is it a song? What is it? Every move I make, every breath I take. Every move I make, every breath I take, I'm moving. Huh? Well, God is watching us. Yeah, he is. Anyway, let's get back to my message, because if not, we'll all be in here dancing. So Daniel chose to have a different diet. He would not consume what the culture is. And that's what we have to have in our thinking. We have to consume something different than the world, what the world is trying to put into us. My cousin called me the other day. And her husband got sick. Guess what? He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Did you have any of these shots?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, I had two and a booster, three and a booster." The doctor said, "Please do not take any more."
Praise God.
You took that? This doctor was honest with him. He said, "Do not take any more." See, we cannot consume what the people out there are telling us to do. Follow the money. What the world was consuming, Daniel refused to consume. The Bible said the whole kingdom began to eat like Daniel. Many in the world are consuming many deceptions, many lies. For the last 2 years, actually it was beyond 2 years. It was for many years. It's like the story about the frog in the frying pan. The frog gets in and you turn the heat up a little bit and then you turn it up more and more. But praise God, we're living in a time when we're going to see and we're going to hear, just like we did a couple days ago, the move of God on this earth like never before. Amen?
Yes.
So this morning, where is God telling you to get up? Where is God telling you, what is God telling you to give up? And where is God telling you to speak up? Where is God telling you to stand up? I was in Boscov's on Friday when I got the message that Roe versus Wade was overturned. And I went to the Clinique counter. That's what I went for.
Yeah.
Went to the Clinique counter and I said to the woman, "Have you heard Roe v. Wade was overturned?" And she looked at me and she said, "You're kidding me." No, I said, "I'm not kidding you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How great is this?" Well, I don't know. I said, there's other things that people can do that to not get pregnant rather than get pregnant and kill their baby.
Yeah.
I said, "I'm not for killing babies." I said it right in Bosco's.
Truth be told.
Okay. Then I went to TJ Maxx. I had to return something at TJ Maxx. So I went shopping and then I went to the girl and I said, "Did you hear? Roe v. Wade was overturned this morning." And she said, "Really? Oh, brother." And I said, "Oh, you think it's okay to kill babies?" I said, "I don't think it's okay to kill babies. Praise the Lord," I said. "Babies are going to live."
Praise God.
Well, she said, "I guess maybe you are right." I don't care. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak up. I am. See, the change I want to see, it starts with me. See, look, don't pretend there's no problem in America.
That's right.
Don't accept innocent lives being taken.
That's right.
Don't make any more excuses. "Well, what would they say? I mean, what would they say if I really spoke up? Am I going to go to jail? Well, then at least I don't have to pay bills and they'll feed me." Don't think these things don't affect you. Don't think that way, because they do. Don't sit back and be silent.
That's right.
Don't think you can't be part of a change.
That's right. Amen.
Let's all be part of a change. Come on. Let's take responsibility. We can make a difference. We were changed by Jesus to bring change. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 through 18, we're going to read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." We are changed by Jesus to bring change. He says, "You've been changed by me. Now I want to turn you into an agent of change. I didn't change you just to be changed. I want you to be a world changer, an ambassador of reconciliation." It's not time just to sit back and grab a hold of the responsibility. It's time not to just sit back, but to grab a hold of the responsibility and say, "Lord, it begins with me." Say that. It begins with me. I can make a difference. I can be part of a change. After we become a believer and saved, we are to become a minister of reconciliation. We are to become ambassadors for Christ. And we are to become co-laborers with him. You know, Jesus wasn't afraid to turn over the tables and the money changers.
Right.
He wasn't afraid to call them names. I'm not calling anybody names, just to be clear. Change requires that you leave your comfort zone. Joshua had to separate from Moses. It was uncomfortable. Imagine what it was like being in the back shadows of a great leader like Moses. When he was called to the forefront, understand that he had to come out of his comfort zone. And I understand that maybe some of you have to come out of your comfort zone. When he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead," it wasn't just about information. It was about separation. Separation is always often the beginning of possession. You will never be able to step into until you step away from. You can't step into something until you are ready to step out of other things. You can't grab a hold of something till you let go of other things. So have some examples. Years ago, Roger and I were on staff at a large church here, and God said, it's time to separate. So we moved to Mexico. And then we had a home in Texas and Mexico, training up the people to do what you just saw today. Amen. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. See, we don't have to be there now. We did what it is God told us to do, and that goes on every week and sometimes during the week. And then Roger was on a staff at a large church in Texas. I loved it. Oh, I loved it. We were in church on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He had areas of ministry he was over. I was there during the day. I loved it. It was a beautiful, huge church. Huge. God said it was time to separate. It was painful. Our home in Mexico and Texas, God said it's time to separate. So we came back here, and we came up, we had a prayer room ministry for 5 years. We had people that came, that we had on our staff, I wouldn't say staff, but they were with us in the prayer room. And one day, I have to tell you this story, one day this fellow came in, and him and his wife had trouble, but they had a little baby girl. And she had moved out, and he wanted to have this baby. He wanted to see this baby girl. But they couldn't see the baby. There had to be something on a Sunday where somebody had to be there to exchange. Well, he kept coming in the prayer room every week or every other week for prayer that he would be able to have his little girl. And one Sunday he came in, it happened to be baptism Sunday. Oh, baptism. If you've never been baptized, immersed in water, it's time. And he came in and he said, oh, I need prayer. And he said, it's baptism Sunday. He said, I'd love to be baptized. He said, but my mother and my aunt say I'm not ready. Boo! That did it for me. I said, what do you mean you're not ready? Do you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? He said, yes. I said, are you born again? He said, yes. I said, then you belong in the tank. I said, I don't care what your mother says or what your grandmother says. You belong in the tank. Oh, he said, oh, but I don't know now, because today, I would love to get baptized today. I said, there's no reason why you can't get baptized today. He said, Nancy, he said, I'm going up to my car. I think I have shorts in my car. And this girl that was in the prayer room with me, and we looked out the window like this, and here he comes running down all the steps, and he has his shorts in his hand. You remember that, don't you? And he has his shorts in his hand, and he comes in and he said, I got it. Oh, I'm getting baptized. He was so hungry to be baptized. Well, to make a long story short, I took him down. I told him, this guy's here to be baptized, and he's going to be baptized today. I'm telling you, it was, you're crying, aren't you? I could too. Amazing. My friend that was in the room with me, Panic's wife, she took the pictures. Roger and I stood at the end of this long hall where they get out the tank and come down the hall, and we're standing there. And he goes in, he gets baptized, he comes down the hall and hugged us. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it. Except that when he went away, I had a white shirt on and I thought, oh my goodness. Got to you, Roger, too, didn't it? Absolutely amazing. Good, great, prosperous, anointed ministry. But God said separate. It's tough. It's tough. But there's a higher calling for us. There's a higher calling for you and you and you and you and you. As the body of Christ, we need to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. We have a higher calling to accomplish, but it requires separation and coming out of our comfort zone. Understand that change will always challenge you. It takes courage to change. Joshua was told 4 times to be strong and courageous, and I'm going to point those out to you this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. And verse 18, only be strong and of good courage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you strong and of good courage? Courage to stand alone. Courage to hold on to your convictions. You will never be an agent of advancement as long as you are addicted to people's approval. I get that. If you're addicted to people's approval, you will never, ever be an agent of advancement. You may need courage to lead alone. Change comes with a cost. Change comes with a price. It will cost you when it comes to change. But listen, the cost of changing is often worse than the cost of not changing. Joshua said, I don't know who you're going to choose, but I'm going to choose to go with God. And he understood by making that choice that everybody wouldn't go with him. Everybody who was with him thus far. You might have family members. You make some choices. They're not going to go with you. Understand that. When Joshua decided to make a choice about what he was going to do, he knew that not everybody was going to go with him because it was going to cost them something. Cost some relationships. Cost popularity. Cost reputation. Finances. But it's worth it. It's worth standing up for Jesus Christ and all that he died and bled on the cross for. Change is a process, not a destination. When we quit changing, we quit living. When we quit changing, we keep growing. We quit advancing. That word this morning is pursuing change and desiring change doesn't bring change. You can desire it, you can pursue it, but it isn't change until it's change. What do I mean? It starts with me having an attitude of humility. Comes down to humility. Change always begins with humbling ourselves. In James chapter 4, 6, and 7 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. 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 Definition of humility is a profound dependence on God. It is saying, God, I need you. God, I know I'm not enough. I realize that without you, I can do absolutely nothing. I know nothing. I have nothing without you in my life. It takes humility to change. It takes honesty to change. It takes teachability. I really like this. Are you willing to be taught? What God can educate, he can't elevate. He can't teach me anything if I know everything. A wise man will listen and increase in learning. And some can't learn because they refuse to listen. Listen in the beginning and learn. A wise man will adhere to counsel. 3 things this morning in closing. Number 1, allow God to change your perspective. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Right. Proverbs 21:2 says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. We think our ways are pure and right in our own eyes. God examines our heart. What is dangerous is you can live in deception and not know it.
Yeah. Right.
If we never have an encounter with God where he changes our point of view, our perspective, we can walk around judgmental and critical and self-righteous, thinking our ways are pure in our eyes and in bond, and be in bondage, but we don't even know it. Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:5, woe is me, woe is me, when he saw the Lord. He said, my lips are unclean like their lips are unclean. But we will have issues. We will have struggles, heartaches, and pains. When we see God correctly, we can see our inadequacies. We all have dysfunctions. I'm going to repeat that one again. We all have dysfunctions. We can walk around self-righteous. We're all working things out in our lives, and that is why we need the blood. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. That is why we need the anointing of God. No one can look down on another when it comes to the cross. The ground is level at the cross. We all need Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Number two, change your mind. Romans 12:12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We need a transformed mind, a renewed mind, or a renovated mind. Before renovation, there has to be demolition. Demolition. It's demolition. Before we can have a renewed mind, there has to be demolition. Our thinking, wrong thought patterns, and mentalities. There's a mentality because of all our belief system over the years that were shaped, that could have been shaped by four things: past experiences, environment, credible authorities, and repetitious information. Even before you came to faith, those four things may have shaped your belief system way back when. Coming to Christ, you were made new in your spirit, but your mind needs to be renewed. And if you stay at conversion and never move on to transformation, then you will never have the proper perspective of God, of people, and live a life beneath of what Jesus died for you to have. Transformation comes by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the blood of Jesus, allowing Him to re-educate and redirect you and renew your mind to the truth of God's word. Number three, lastly, a change of heart. David in Psalm 51:10 said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Verse 24, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He said, Lord, search me. I need you to do something inside of me. Proverbs says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is in your heart will affect every area of your life and those connected to your life. It's possible to have things inside your heart that need to be healed, that you need to let go, to be broken, to be renewed and released. But you have to humble yourself. You have to be willing to say, God, do a deep work in me. We need it in our nation, but first we need it in our homes. Then our nation, our communities, our world. It takes an encounter with God to expose resentment and bitterness. Bitterness in your heart will cause you to be far from God. Unforgiveness will block your healing. We think our ways are always pure. Isn't that true? We think our ways are always pure. I think my ways are always pure. And oh my goodness gracious. That's why I use the mirror. Can you say this morning, Lord, do a deep work in me?
Yes.
Will you let it start with you? So today, can you say, Lord, search my heart? Will you let it start with you? Will you humble yourself?
Yes.
Will you say, Lord, I want to see change, but I know it starts with me? I want you to stand. Okay, I'm going to ask you to do this. You can lift your hands, you can stand, you can kneel, you can sit if you wish. If you are willing to humble yourself this morning, then I want you to repeat after me. We're going to make a declaration. Jesus Christ is here, the Holy Spirit's here, but we're making a declaration this morning. I want you to repeat after me. Lord,
we humble ourselves.
Create in me a right heart.
Do a thorough examination.
Don't let me just go through the motions.
Help me to experience real change.
Let it start with me. My home,
my nation,
my community needs a change. I need a change. Do it in me, Lord.
Create in me a clean heart.
Renew in me a right spirit.
Don't let me leave or go from this place
without a change in me.
It starts with me, God.
I believe your spirit is here
today to do a work in me.
Amen. Now I want you to stay in this attitude of prayer as we hear and sing to the song that we're going to do.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all,
believe we have some work to do in here today. Who is the me in the mirror of your life? Is the me joyful? Is the me anxious? Is the me fearful? Is the me ready to stand up for truth? Is the me struggling with issues that you should have given to God to handle, but you keep taking them back? What is the me? So this morning, there's an aisle here, and I invite you to come and take the mirror and speak to the me that you see. I invite you to come, speak to the me that you see. Tell the me you are done with all that is holding you back, troubling you, and keeping you from living free. Refuse to harbor things in your heart. Don't disregard God's conviction. Young people, I know this might be a little different for you this morning. Might be a little different, but God is in the house. God wants to help you. God wants to see you accomplish all that he has for you to accomplish. And you know how you can do that? By taking the mirror and looking at yourself and make some declarations to God. Just because you're a younger age doesn't mean that God doesn't have a purpose and a plan for your life. He does. He's calling you. I know he's calling you. You try to avoid him all morning, but he's here, and he wants you. He wants you to follow him. Amen? You know that he wants you to follow him. When you look into the mirror, just ask the Lord to show you what he has for your life, for right now, for your life, for your life. That's right. That's right. You know what? I love you guys, but I have been seeing young people way in the past when I would minister the Word of God, and I can tell where there's things in their life that need change. You know there's things in your life that need change. You know it, and you know it. And you're here today for a purpose and a reason. That's right. You're absolutely right. And that's why we work on those things over and over and over. And then the change comes, and we say, oh, praise God. I'm not what I used to be. I am more than that because God has his hand on me. Amen? He wants you to be an agent of change. So if that's you this morning, here's your mirror. You're all welcome. Now remember, don't even listen to what she's saying, if she says it out loud or whatever. Maybe she's praying it from her heart. But the agent of change is right.